Over there. So either way, do get registered for camp as soon as you can, because we of course have to give them a head count as we get a little bit closer to camp there. There have been a couple of questions as far as registering for camp. You don't have to necessarily attend the whole camp if you can only come for a certain number of days. We'd like you to come to the whole camp if possible, but if you can only come, say, for the Wednesday and Thursday, that's fine, or just part of the camp. Either way, just on your registration, just write down there which days it looks like you're going to be able to be there. Okay? Now, yes, go ahead.
How far is it? Is it east of San Diego?
Yeah, it's east of San Diego, probably about 15 minutes. Yeah, it's not really, for y'all, it probably should only be about an hour and a half, maybe. We were there in 1998. Was it 98, Ted?
Yeah.
And it's an easy drive. It's not, you know, it's not like the windy roads where people, you know, get sick and stuff like that. And it's just a few. Tom, you said you just kind of drove by it a couple of weeks ago. Just a few miles off the freeway. So it's a great conference center. And again, if you're going to be able to go at all, please register as soon as you can. That way we know, we can give them a head count, that type of thing. So, okay. Now I know for sure that we have at least one birthday girl here today. It's not her birthday until next week, but the adults don't get it. Don't get. Yes, right. see now, Lori. The adults want to. There you go. Okay, Lori has the sheets over here. Lori, Ken, and Dan want some here, so pass them out. Now it's the question she asked me this morning. She said, I need three questions to give the teens so that when they listen, they have to stay awake and listen, right? So she kind of developed that. That's not necessarily the order of the message, but so anyway, but y'all will be able to fill in the blanks once we get done here this morning, okay? If you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. What's that?
Name.
Well, actually, if you missed that first question, the name, you got some real problems, okay? So don't miss that one there. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. You fill them out right away. You can. Man, it's got a rough crowd this morning. It's a beautiful day. I think people want to get out of here. Okay, so all right. Well, I got the message. All right. Well, I'll only go an hour and a half today. All right. No, Laura, you had. Everybody see that? Body, such as in body of Christ. Okay. So yeah, that's right. And she didn't get those, so you better write it. She's going to keep track over here. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for the time to look in your Scripture this morning. And we pray, Father, that as we've gathered here to study your Word, that we would be students listening to what your Word says and then appreciating the nature of the details that we find here in this very passage of Scripture. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. When we were talking about this morning at the breakfast table, Lori was asking me a couple of questions to ask the kids. And it was kind of interesting because after I gave her a couple of, you know, questions, or two or three questions, or whatever, and then she was going to modify them a little bit, she said, well, I thought you were talking about the sign gifts. Now, is everybody... So why are we talking about the body? Anybody know? Okay, what else? Remember we said that when Paul deals with the sign gifts, he starts in what chapter in 1 Corinthians? Chapter 12. Chapter 12, 13, and 14 all go together about the sign gifts. And in order for us to appreciate the sign gifts, what they were about, what they were for, and answer the question, are they in fact still in effect, there's some things we have to understand about the nature of the body of Christ first before we'll ever appreciate the sign gifts. Okay? So there's some things, and that's why you start in chapter 12. That's why the details are in chapter 12 about the nature of the body of Christ. So there's a couple of times I said body, right? So there's another time, right? Man, this is going to be confusing. Yeah, really. Okay, so yeah, can you keep it up, right? Man, this is going to be a challenge. This is great. We ought to have a raffle after this or something like that, right? Have a reward. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this is going to be a tough one today, friends. This is going to be tough to get through, but we're going to try it, okay? Now, so in order for us to appreciate really the nature of the sign gifts and to answer the question, are they in fact still in effect today? And if so, why? If not, why? And that type of thing. You first of all have to understand some things about the Body of Christ. There it is, okay? Now, yes, you do count that one, okay? So, and the other thing I'm going to attempt to do this morning, and if I do this, it will demonstrate that the sign gifts are still in effect. I'm going to attempt to get through this whole chapter this morning. You get my point? So a miracle will happen. You will witness a miracle this morning. No, really and truly, the best way to get through chapter number 12 is just to go right through chapter 12. That's the best way to do it. It is straightforward. It's just almost too obvious, Paul's points here. And so we're just going to read right through it. We're going to study right through it together. And we are going to attempt to go through at least most of it, if not all of it. Okay? Let me begin again by reminding you what we did last week very quickly. Look at verse 2. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Who was leading them? The spirit of this world. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Which spirit is working in verse 3? Holy Spirit. So what did we learn last week about the spirits operating at Corinth? There were two of them. Remember that? The spirit of this world and in the Holy Spirit. And when I say operating at Corinth, I mean in the believers at Corinth. The Corinthian believers were still allowing the spirit of this world to run them. That's why they were carnal. They were divided. They were confused. And certainly about the sign gifts. So what Paul is going to have to do in order to advance their understanding and hence so that they will no longer be ignorant brethren, what he's going to have to do here is he's going to have to equip them to discern how do you tell between the spirits? How do you know if it's the spirit of this world as compared to it if it's the Holy Spirit? See what's going on? So what Paul is going to do here in chapter number 12 at this point, he's going to spend a great deal of time in these first early verses of chapter number 12 talking about the Spirit of God, 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 the Spirit of God. The objective is to equip them to be able to discern, to know which spirit it is that they're letting function in them. Now, whether or not they will make the decision is a totally different issue. You can show somebody the Word of God, but that don't mean they're going to believe it. Have you experienced that? You found that to be so? So what Paul does is he's going to give them the necessary doctrine so that they can discern whether or not they are letting verse 2 operate in them or letting verse 3 operate in them. The spirit of this world or the spirit of God. Everybody with me so far? All right, now with that in mind then, look at verse 4. So having established the fact that there are these two spirits operating among the believers at Corinth, he says at verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. So the next thing that we want to grasp is this, it's a real simple point. Whether it's differences of gifts, administrations, or operations, it's the same Spirit, Lord, and God. What's the point? The point is, the Godhead is unified in what they're doing. Let me have you compare two other passages at the end of the section of the sign gifts. Hence, chapter 14. Look at chapter 14, verse 33. If you'll remember these two verses, these will help you every time. If you remember these two verses, chapter 14, verse 33, and notice what it says. For God is not the author of what? What's it say there? He's not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. If you walk into a local assembly, and if there's confusion, then is God the one who's doing it? The answer is no. When he says at the end of the chapter, verse 40, look at verse 40, let all things be done what? Decently and in what? Listen, it's almost like the final piece of information the Apostle Paul gives the Corinthians here is God is not the author of confusion. Hence, let all things be done decently and in order. If you go into a situation and they're saying God is doing this, God is doing that, and God is doing something else, and it is confusion and it is out of order, what do you know for sure? It's not of God. It's that cut and dry. And that's going to be about how cut and dry chapter 12 is. I mean, it's going to be right to the point. And so when you come back over to chapter number 12 then, look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You need to mark that, the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all and in all. So up to that verse, what do you know for sure then? Whether it's gifts or administrations or operations, what do you know for sure? What's the emphasis? It's the same Spirit, Lord, and God. God Himself is absolutely united with Himself. The Godhead is united with Himself as far as what He's doing. The Godhead's not confused about this. Whether it's gifts, administrations, or operations, the Godhead is not confused about what He's doing. So far you've got a couple of things in your mind. There are two spirits operating at Corinth. The Spirit of the world and God the Holy Spirit. And Paul has got to equip the Corinthians as to how to discern whether or not they are allowing the spirit of the world to function in them or the spirit of God. That's what you know first. Next you know, God is not confused about what He's doing. God is not working cross purposes with Himself. The Spirit of God, the Lord, and God the Father, He's not working cross purposes with Himself, whether it's in the gifts, the administrations, or the operations. Why is it important to know that, by the way? Why is it important to know that?
Because Satan does want to confuse him.
What else?
Big problem today, one thing.
What's that?
Big problem today.
Such as?
Everybody's doing something different.
Everybody's doing something different. That's and what you're going to find really through chapter number 12, again, it's that simple. Remember the simplicity that's in Christ? If there's confusion out there and everybody's doing their own thing, that isn't what God's doing. Because God, you don't have God the Holy Spirit doing this over here, the Lord doing this over here, and God the Father doing something over here. They are an absolute they're in absolute union as far as what they're doing. Everybody with me so far? Now look at the next verse. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. What does it say there? To profit who? To profit everybody. Now think about that. What's the point in that verse? Even though there are differences of gifts, and even though there are differences of administrations, and even though there are differences of operations, and those three things will be under these categories here and so forth. We're not going to get into all that just yet, okay? It is the same Spirit, Lord, and God that is functioning in those things. God is at one with what He's doing. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the way the Spirit of God is being manifested, i.e. the sign gifts, right? That's what he's going to go on to talk about. The way the Spirit of God is manifested, look at what it says at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit who? Whose benefit is it supposed to be for? For, what is it?
The body
of Christ. Write that down. There's another one, okay? Whose benefit is it for? It's to profit with all. It's to profit the body of Christ as a whole. If somebody at Corinth has got a big head saying, I have this gift or I have that gift, what is it that they forgot? It's supposed to be for all. And if they are saying this, if they are either exalting in themselves or their gift, doesn't that verse say, the manifestation Spirit is given to every man to profit the whole group? So, which Spirit is it in them that is leading them to exalt in the wrong thing? Spirit of this world. See what's going on there? Alright, so look at verse 6 again. Verse 7, okay? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You have to remember that verse. As Paul goes through this chapter here, it's like he sets down pillars, or he sets down foundations so that you can go step from step from step. And that's one of the steps right there. That's one of the foundation stones. You have to remember that however it was that the Spirit of God was being manifested, whether it was the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of tongues, discerning of spirits, tongues, or interpretation of tongues, whatever way the Spirit of God was being manifested, the Spirit of God was being manifested to profit everybody. If one of these here was being exalted over the other, was it the Spirit of God doing it? No. How do you know? Because however the Spirit of God is being manifested, it was to profit everyone. So it's for the benefit of the body of Christ as a whole. Look at the next point now. Look at verse 8. Here's kind of the next section. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these, and here's the next stepping stone, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now what was the repeated reference, verse 8, verse 9, and then verse 11? Same Spirit, same Spirit. In fact, in my Bible, I take that real fine marker and so forth, and I write over that so it stands out. Mark that. You see at verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit. The last part of verse 8, by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith, by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. Why tell us that? Why tell the Corinthians that again? By the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. Why tell them that? What's that? Okay, what else? The unity of it. Listen, if one person is exalting in this, they say, I've got the word of wisdom and I'm somebody. Somebody comes along and says, well, I've got the gift of faith, and I'm somebody. Somebody comes along and says, yeah, but I can speak in tongues, and I'm somebody. Somebody comes along and says, well, I can interpret tongues, and I'm somebody. What do you know for sure? That's not the Spirit of God. Even if they legitimately had those gifts, it wasn't the Spirit of God saying that in them. So, you see how Paul is equipping them to discern whether or not the Spirit that's functioning in them is the Spirit of verse 2 or the Spirit of verse 3. Everybody with me so far? Now, you've got to remember the background of the Corinthians. They were carnal, they were divided, they were confused, and they indeed were exalting in themselves and what they had instead of in being members one of another in Christ. Okay? So look again at verse 11 now. This is another point, verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? As who will? Okay, think about it then. If it was the Spirit of God who was making the decision as to which one of these sign gifts was manifested in a particular individual, then did it have anything to do with the individual? No. Who did it have to do with? God, the Holy Spirit. He divided severally according to His will. So if it was God's will, then what business did a Corinthian have exalting in the gift? You see what I'm getting at? And you understand that not only is that what was happening back there, but friends, that is what happens today. What is the big one today? What's the big one that everybody exalts in? No, that's not the big one. That's the second big one. Tongues is the big one. That one right there. Tongues is the big one. Healing takes second place by a long shot to tongues. Tongues is the big one that everybody focuses on. Now, what's the problem with that? Yeah. What else? What else? From our context. What's? It's not the same Spirit then. You see, if we're going to take a list, and there's a whole bunch of gifts that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14... And if you're just going to take one or two of these and focus on one or two of these, is that what you're led to believe in chapter number 12 that God the Holy Spirit is doing? The answer is no. Hence, which Spirit is it in them that was leading to focus on these things? Spirit's world. So I'll tell you this. Even if the sign gifts are still in effect, and by the way, they're not, but even if they were still in effect, what do you know as to how they're being operated today? Which spirit is it? It's the spirit of this world, period. That is too easy to discern that. And it's because of all the confusion, because of the wrong emphasis. We're going to exalt in this one and minimize that one. I have this one, you don't have that one. Friends, that is not the Spirit of God. You see why it is that before Paul ever gets to the issue about the signs are in effect and are they going to pass away and why would, before Paul ever gets to that issue, he's got to equip the Corinthians to discern which spirit is in them that was leading them to do what they were doing. Everybody with me so far? So, jump again at verse 11 then. He says, "But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Whose decision is it then as to who got what gift? The Spirit of God. Therefore, was it ever appropriate, was it ever right for somebody who had any one of these gifts to exalt either in themselves or in the gift? Was it ever right for anyone who had any of these gifts to in some way or another imply that they were more spiritual than you? See, that's never right at all. Never has been. And that's why I say that even if you were to come to the conclusion that the sign gifts are still in effect today, and they're not, but even if you came to that conclusion, you'd still have to say that what is going on in Christianity about the sign gifts is clearly it's verse 2. It ain't verse 3. Okay? Now, go on with me a little bit further then. Look at verse 11 again. "But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will, for as the body..." There, you can put that one down again, right? On your little chart there. He says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, I've titled the message this morning, "When does many equal one?" When does many equal one? What's that? When it's the body. That's right. You know what Paul's going to do here? Paul is going to take a simple illustration that everybody can relate to, and then he's going to apply it to the church, the body of Christ. And the illustration he's going to use is simply your human body. You can all relate to it. How come? You happen to have one. And it didn't cost you anything. Think about that. I heard a guy one time talking about the most powerful computer on the face of the planet. He's talking about what this thing is worth and what it can do. And I'm thinking, man, I'd sure like to get one of those. And, of course, he went on to say, and guess what? You got one. It's your brain. Whoa, man, are you kidding? Now my brain can't do all that stuff. Well, the reason that you can all relate to the illustration of the body is because you have one. And that's what Paul's going to do here. Now, notice what he says then. At verse 12. "For as the body..." Now the body in that verse is a reference to your physical body. He says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, arms, legs, liver, kidney, heart, lungs, etc. As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." And then he says, "So also is what? Christ." So also is the body of Christ. Just like your physical body is one, but it's many, but it's one, so also is the church the body of Christ. It's one body, but many members, but one body. Now look at the next verse. You're going to have a lot of numbers there, right? This is going to be a tough one, friends, on the little chart there, okay? What are you up to, like 50 so far? Oh, 26, they said. So just in case y'all didn't get that. So anyway, gave it away, right? So now the question is this. Since he uses the human body as an illustration of the church, the body of Christ, what's the obvious question? How did we get in this thing? Right? How did we all get in the body of Christ? Look at the next verse right there. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So how is it that all the Corinthian believers all got dumped into this one body? Dumped is not the right word, of course, but how they all get put into this one body, who did it? God the Holy Spirit did it. God the Holy Spirit placed them into the church, the body of Christ. Why is that important to know? How does that help them discern which spirit it was that was operating in them? What's that? There's no confusion as far as God's concerned.
It's not by water.
It's not by water. Exactly. Another good point there as well. What else?
God wanted to give
That's it. If God's the one, if God the Holy Spirit's the one to place you in the body of Christ, if God the Holy Spirit's the one that's giving you the gifts, you didn't do it. And hence, quit exalting in yourself or the gift. You see his point? All the way through the passage, by one Spirit, by one Spirit, by one Spirit, the Spirit baptized by one Spirit, the Spirit placed you in Christ. You've been made to drink in the one Spirit. The emphasis is on what God is doing. And if God did it, then there is no boasting. It's very similar, or there shouldn't be any boasting. It's very similar. In fact, it is the same thing when it comes to salvation. If you could save yourself, then can you boast? You betcha. But how come you can't boast? Because He did it all. And isn't that kind of what He's driving down through here? When these signs gets war in effect, and they obviously war in effect, the Holy Spirit was the one that's doing it, not the person. And there was a real simple way to discern whether or not it was the Spirit of the world or the Spirit of God, and it was a simple attitude check. That's all it was. It was a simple attitude check. Now, you got to remember, Paul is setting the stage here in chapter 12 for what he's going to tell them in chapter 13 and 14. And the thing that will manifest whether or not they believe chapter number 12 is whether or not they respond to the information in chapter 13 and 14. Because what he is going to go on and tell them, guys, you know, this stuff's in effect now, but he's going to go on and tell them in chapter 13 it's going to pass away. And so if they seek to hang on to that once it has passed away, then what will that manifest? It will manifest that the Spirit that's functioning in them is the Spirit of verse 2 instead of verse 3. Alright? So, let's continue on. Having brought up the illustration of the human body being a picture and type of the church, the body of Christ, look at what he says at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now look at what he says. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? How many of you used your feet this morning to get you somehow, some way to church? I did. Imagine if you wake up out of bed one morning, and you know what? Your foot and your leg just says, yeah, no ma'am, no sir. You got me to bed way too late last night, and I am tired. I am sleepy. I'm staying in this bed. And so the rest of you, you know, tries to get out of bed, and what, you fall all over the ground. And your foot's complaining, and you know how sometimes you do that anyway, because your leg is still asleep, right? You can't walk. You understand the confusion that would happen. And Paul's logic is simply this. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What's the answer to that question? If a guy who maybe has the gift of discerning of spirits says, well, because I don't have the gift of tongues, I must not be as important, so I'm just not part of what's going on. Is that a true statement? And what else does it manifest? What spirit is functioning in that guy? The spirit of the world, who has forgotten that God, the Holy Spirit, gave the gifts to profit everyone. He gave it according to His own will, and He placed them in the body of Christ according to His plan. Hence, whatever gift you had, were you supposed to focus on yourself or the gift? No, you're supposed to be grateful for the gift God gave you. See what's going on there? Look at the next point he says. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, well, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, you know, every time I read that, I just kind of, imagine going to work. I mean, how would you get there? You'd bounce, a big bouncing ball with eye, you know, and everything like that. You show up work, and all you can do, just one big eye, you know. Well, what do you do now? How do you answer the... Yeah, you're talking to me. You're looking at me. Mama, he's looking at me. You know? You couldn't even say that. You don't have a mouth. You can't hear. You understand the absolute confusion. The body would not exist without many members. I wonder if when the Corinthians read this, they probably had a lot of fun with this, you know? I wonder, too, if when Paul wrote this, he himself probably had a lot of fun with it, too. But at any rate, he says at verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? See, I mean, see his simple logic here. Imagine if the whole body were a nose. Just one big nose. Some of us are right about there anyway, right? But just one big nose. What's that?
Yeah, I hate to get a cold.
Yeah, I hate to get a cold. No kidding. Anyway, we got to move on here. So look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. Now remember, there's an illustration, there's a comparison between the physical body and the church, the body of Christ. Let's talk about the physical body. Who is it that made a foot a foot? Who is it that made an eye an eye? Who is it that made a heart a heart? God did that. Are you upset about that? Are you glad that you have a foot? Some people don't, you know. Are you glad that you have a heart? You have a brain. You've got a kidney and so forth. You mentioned about having some concerns with kidneys. Are you glad that you have hands? The head. You've got a rib cage to protect the vital organs. Are you complaining about all these things? No! You thank God that you have them. But what was happening at Corinth is, some people had this gift, some had that one, some had the other gift, and they were complaining because they didn't have tongues, as an example. It's interesting that the Corinthians were magnifying tongues. And every list you look at that Paul makes about the sign gifts, are tongues at the top or at the bottom? No. Tongues. They're always at the bottom. They're always at the bottom. It's kind of interesting. And yet that was the big one. The tongues was the big one at Corinth. What's the big one today? Tongues. See what's going on? It's like everybody's saying, because I'm not... The foot says, because I'm not the head, or I'm not an ear, or because I'm not an eye, then therefore I'm not of the body. See the confusion? So when he says here, then at verse 18 now, but God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. So who made the decision as to make your foot a foot? God did. Who made the decision as to whether or not one person had the gift of faith, the other person had the gift of prophecy? God did. It was God's decision, and it was a gift of God. Hence, the Corinthians should have had an attitude of gratefulness instead of complaining. Now, look at the other side of the coin. Let's keep going. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I got a question. Can you function in your life without a foot? You can, can't you? Can you function in your life without a hand? You can, can't you? Stephen was asking the other day about what if somebody was a quadriplegic and so forth? You know, like from here down, they're paralyzed. You know, what must life be like? I said, well, I don't know, but we have some friends, that know your aunt, Denise's sister and so forth. She's a quadriplegic. No, one's a paraplegic and one's a quadriplegic. Now, can they still live and survive without the foot? They can. But does it make a difference if you can use those? Oh, you bet. So what was happening at Corinth is those that had the gift of tongues were saying, because I have tongues, I'm like the head. I don't need you. I can get along without you. See the sense there of the verse? He says at verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need. The issue is need in that verse. I have no need of thee, nor the head to the foot. I have no need of you. Those that had particular tongues were saying, because you don't have what I have, I'm better than you. I don't need you. And friends, I'm telling you, that is what goes on around the realm of tongues today. If you don't speak in tongues, well, you know what? You're just not quite as blessed. If you don't speak in tongues or interpret tongues, then you know what? You're kind of a lesser Christian spiritually, is the implication. Isn't that true? Friends, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know is true.
You don't have enough faith.
You don't have enough faith. See that? That's exactly what it said. So now let's move on. He says at verse 22, he says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, it's funny to think about a foot being feeble. What's more important, your foot or your heart? Which one can you live without? That's right. Maybe you think your foot is feeble, but I tell you what, that foot does a lot of work for you throughout the day. So does your heart. I think they said there's no muscle that works more than your heart and so forth. But that foot does a lot of work for you throughout the day, doesn't it? Look what he goes on to say, verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, notice the "we think" part, that's part of the confusion as well. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Friends, just think about the human body. Think about what a marvel. You could do a just tremendous study just on the human body out of this passage right here. But think about what a marvel the human body is and how God designed it. Let me give you an illustration. We saw a thing on TV maybe 6 months or so ago where this child was born with his heart outside of his body. Maybe some of y'all saw that. The kid was born, the heart was outside of the body. So they literally had to kind of build a rib cage, because it's, of course, the rib cage that protects your vital organs, your heart, your lungs, and so forth, that type of thing. And this little, and at the time, I think the kid was a teenager at this point and everything, but imagine that, what that would be like. Having to live every day, and your heart is just exposed, it's just right there. What would it do to you? What would it do to the other people looking at you? It'd gross them out. Right? Can I say it that direct? We saw another thing where on one of these medical things where this guy had got some disease. He'd got some infection and so forth, and some disease. It just ate away the skin. And literally, his whole, like from here to here, his whole face is gone. It's just all gone. They had to reconstruct it. There's no eyes, no nose, nothing. It's just a big cavity. Okay, now they have since created a false mask for him and everything. But when they were showing this thing, they had the mask off, and it's just bizarre looking. And imagine this guy walking down the street and everything. It would just gross you out. You just, just to look at the thing was a shock. It's interesting how the Apostle Paul takes the human body and says, you know, you've got members of your body that God has clothed in a certain way. They're vital members of your body, but God has clothed them in a certain way so as to make it comely, attractive, where you can look upon it and so forth. Your lungs are not exposed. Your heart is not exposed. They're protected. But your hands, they're exposed. Your feet are exposed. Your head is exposed. And so look what he goes on to say here. Look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now verse 25 is his point. That there should be no schism in the body. What does schism mean? Like split or division, right? He says here that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. What's the point of verse 25 there? What's the point of verse 25? You bet, working in one accord. You see the guys that can take their eyes, and their eyes, this eye can look that way, and this eye can look that way. It's really the strangest thing. Are you kind of glad your eyes don't do that? Yes. Why? What is it? The fact that your eyes are supposed to work together and do work together, what
you can stay focused.
You can stay focused. What else can you discern? What else can you tell?
You can't see what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. And then it's totally unclear out there. What else? When they work together, what else do you sense?
Depth
perception. You betcha. You got a wall coming up, you're running to the wall if you can't discern the depth perception and so forth. All right? Well, your body as a whole, it functions like that. Aren't you glad that you don't have to tell your heart to keep beating? How come you're glad about that? That'd be a concern, right? And again, I'm not an expert on all this and so forth. Lori is, but they say in the physical body, there are two major, neurological systems. One is the automatic or autonomic. And that one, you don't have to think about it. Is that right? You don't have to think about breathing. You have to think about your heart beating. The others, you have to think about. Okay, I'm going to move my hand. I'm going to run, that type of thing. All right? So, aren't you grateful that God built a human body in such a way that your human body really does, all the members of the body have the same care one for another? How many of y'all are going to go eat lunch today? I'm going to for sure. But what are the rest of you guys doing? On diet or something? You know? And imagine that you go sit down and you have that big juicy, greasy, cheese-melted double cheese with bacon on it and sour cream and everything, the heart stopper. Imagine you've got that big old, you know, hamburger and everything, and you're going to go take a bite out of that thing, and the stomach and the midsection say, "It's all mine." Which is, that's what happens anyway, right? But and the rest of the body is saying, "But wait, I'm hungry too." Well, sorry, you can't have any. When you eat, when you drink, which members of your body receive benefit? All the body. Isn't that interesting? All the body benefits. And if you look at Paul's point at verse 25, that's what he's saying. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Okay, now, look at the next verse. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see, we as the body of Christ, we either suffer or rejoice as one body. How many of you guys have been involved in a construction project? And you know what happens when the hammer misses the head of the nail. What did it hit instead? Yeah, it hit the other nail. Right? And the thumb goes like that, you know. What does the whole body do? It jumps. Adrenaline flows through the whole body, right? Not just the thumb. You know, and the neighbors find out whether or not you really believe the Scripture depend on what come out of your mouth right then, right? You know, ouch, or the other thing. You know what that's like. Or you stub a toe, and boy, the whole body reacts together. But how about as well? When you went to, how about those of you who got married? Did your whole body rejoice? Maybe you went to a wedding for somebody else and you all rejoiced together. Your hands, everybody, your whole body rejoiced together in that. Now, all through this, what are we seeing the Apostle Paul say? Look at the next verse. Verse 27. What's he say there? Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You can take all these illustrations that the Apostle Paul used about the physical body and take and apply them to the spiritual body, the body of Christ. Just like all the members of your body work for the entire unity of the body, so too we as members one of another in Christ need to work for one another. We cannot say, because I don't have that gift, therefore I am not of the body. But neither can we say, because I do have this gift, I don't need you. Instead, what should we be saying? We should be saying, we need everyone. We need one another. And we should be minimizing ourselves, minimizing the gifts, trusting God the Holy Spirit. That is, when these were in effect, trusting God the Holy Spirit to be the one to manifest as He sees fit. Now, having said all that, look at the next series of questions that Paul asks. Look at verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So I got a question, and I'm going to ask the question Paul asks here. What's the first question in verse 29? What's the answer to the question? No. Next question, are all prophets? What's the answer?
No.
Well then, even if he didn't say anything else, if not everybody is a prophet and not in the body of Christ, and if not everybody is an apostle in the body of Christ, then therefore those who wore or had that gift, what was it for? You learned from verse 7 that it was to profit all of the body. You learned from verse 11 that it was according to God's will. You learned at verse 18 that it was according as God pleased Him to manifest these things. So if they were exalting in the gift, they were exalting in the wrong thing. And hence, it wasn't the Spirit of God doing it. So look at what he goes on to say, verse 29 again. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? What's the answer to that question? No. And look at the next one. Do all speak with tongues? Do you understand that there are whole branches of Christianity out there that say this? If you don't speak in tongues, it is evidence that you are not being led by the Holy Spirit. And some even say you're not saved at all. Now, what's the problem with that right there? It's just plain lie. It's just not the truth. Because that verse clearly says, in the sequence of questions, are all apostles? The obvious answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Then you know what? Anyone who says or implies that unless you speak in tongues, you're either not saved, or you're not filled with the Spirit, or you don't have enough faith, they are dead wrong. It's that cut and dry, friends. It is the Spirit of verse 2 working in them, not the Spirit of verse 3. Anyone who will take any of these gifts, although the prominent one everybody takes is the tongues there, that's the major one, but anyone who will take any of these gifts and imply that all believers should have them, they're wrong. Anyone who would take any of these gifts and apply that unless you have them, then therefore you're not spiritual, they're wrong. And it is clearly the spirit of this world that is still functioning in them, period. Even if sign gifts are still in effect today, and they're not, but even if they were, you know enough from chapter number 12 to have the spiritual discernment to identify whether or not it's the spirit of this world functioning in somebody or the spirit of God functioning in them. Now, look at verse 30 again. Have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. All right, before we go to the next verse, what basically, therefore, do we already know for sure about spiritual gifts? What we know is this. We know that when they were in effect, that God the Holy Spirit gave them to manifest everyone, to profit everyone. We know that He gave it according to His will, and we know that He gave those gifts for the benefit of the body of Christ as a whole, that all should have the same care one for another. So therefore, do all have all the gifts? Does anyone have all the gifts? No. Those that had them because it was a choice of God to give them. So what should the person's attitude be towards that gift? It should be to benefit everyone. Now, having said all that, look at the very last verse of chapter 12. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, stop there. So if he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, what must be true? Some are better than others. And if he tells us to covet earnestly the best gifts, he's going to have to tell us which ones are better than others. And once he tells us which ones are better than others, and he tells us to covet the best gifts, if we take the gifts that he clearly identifies as not the best, and we stay focused on them, again, is it the spirit of verse 2 or the spirit of verse 3 taking our attention? You see how simple this all is? I mean, it's right straight, you know, table level where you can get it. And so he says something else here at verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Wait a minute now. You mean there is a more excellent way even than the best gifts? See the implication of the verse there? He goes on to say, but covet earnestly the best gifts. So it means that some out of that list of gifts that he gave you in chapter 12, some of those gifts are better than others. But it also means, the last phrase, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know what else he says? Not only are there some in this list that are better than others, but there's something better than all of that. Is that what you said? What did you say? Yeah, there's a better way, period. Isn't that interesting? a better way. When he says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Not only are some gifts better than others, covet those, but there is even a more excellent. There's something even better than all of that. So what two questions are you left with at chapter 12, at the end of chapter 12? What are the better gifts, and what is what's better than that? Come back next week. Okay? There's no way we can get to all this chapter. But you see, you know what? It's so simple. Paul talks about the simplicity that is in Christ. And you see how he's setting the stage up in chapter 12 to leave in their mind, okay, Paul, what are the better gifts? And what is that more excellent way? And that's what we'll pick up next time. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your Word this morning. And we pray that we would make sure that we are allowing your Spirit to lead us in our understanding of spiritual gifts. For your glory and honor, in Christ's name, amen.
Paul, stand. Turn to page 131. Jesus paid it all. 131.
Thank you.